This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just with Curry and Draymond Green and Kevon Looney and an aging Andre Iguodala, that this team could really compete for an NBA title next year?
I really believe so. I really believe so because I think they're a well-organized organization that fixes its problems as they appear. I think the ceiling is 65 games, man, and first seed and the championship.
Wow.
And anyone who disagrees, just come see.
Okay, all right, Terry. Hey, and we shall see. I appreciate the call, man. And hey, I'm about the love. I ain't trying to knock anybody's hustle. Like, if you want to be optimistic, I'll stop short of calling it delusional, but I think that's real wishful thinking, okay? And again, it's not a knock on these guys. It's just the deal. You need stars to win in the NBA. And there's a lot of different litigating factors at play here. The rest of the NBA, and in the Western Conference in particular, they've been waiting for this moment for 5 years. It's finally upon them. The Golden State Warriors are wounded. Kevin Durant isn't going to play basketball next year, even if he stays with the Dubs, which I think that at this point is highly unlikely. But even if he stays, he can't help you next year. Klay Thompson can't help you until maybe March. So you're telling me, with this roster right now heading into next season, with Steph Curry, who's played how much basketball the last 5 years? Draymond Green, in a contract year, by the way, who's played how much basketball the last 5 years? Are you really ready to see Kevon Looney be like a centerpiece on this team? I think 2019-2020 needs to be a year of player development, of recuperation. And quite frankly, I feel like this team has earned that. Now, I get it. The timing could not be worse with the team moving into the Chase Center. I understand that. That sucks. But that's kind of where we're at. It's still going to be exciting basketball. You're still going to go get to see Steph Curry. I guarantee you the load management stuff's probably going to happen on the road. But I would much rather look at the long game. We always talk about the difference between teams playing chess and teams playing checkers. Well, if you're playing chess, you're in it for the long game, right? You got to be thinking a couple of moves ahead like any seasoned chess player would. And a couple of moves ahead for me is licking your wounds, putting yourself in a position, developing some of these young players, giving them meaningful run, seeing what you have legitimately in a Jordan Bell, in a Damian Lee, in a Damian Jones, in a Kevon Looney. And then next year, you decide you got Klay coming back. If you've retained Draymond Green, fair enough. You got Steph Curry. You've got a bunch of guys now that you know who they are. Andre Iguodala's money comes off the books at that point. You go out, you add to that bench. Maybe you sign another free agent or two to fill out that roster, and you make a run in 2020-2021. That's got to be the plan, right? I wanted to get to this sound before we hit the break, just because the Knicks, to me, KD going to the Knicks, I can't fathom that. The Nets, okay, fair enough. I could see that. I just can't wrap my head around why Kevin Durant would want to go play basketball for James Dolan and the New York Knicks. Stephen A. Smith, you know him, you love him. Here's what he said about nobody trying to play for the Knicks right now.
What the Knicks are saying is this. Their target was Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard alone. They could do whatever they want. We'll have max space for two max players, and they could bring who they want, whether that was Kyrie Irving, who Kevin Durant wants to play with, or a Kemba Walker, who he really didn't have that much taste for. That's the bottom line. But here's the reality of the situation. The likelihood is that you're not going to get either Kawhi or KD. The New York Knicks never wanted Kemba or Kyrie just by themselves, nor do they plan on using exorbitant dollars to pay on second-tier players beyond a 1 or 2 year deal.
All right, so there you go. It's all or nothing for the New York Knicks. I got news for you. It's probably going to be nothing. Kawhi to the Knicks? No, I don't see that. I don't see that at all. Who'd want to play for James Dolan? All right, 888-957-9570. We're going to talk to Dieter Kurtenbach in just a few minutes from the Mercury News about all this free agent activity. By the way, per Sam Amick, despite the Kings' significant interest in Al Horford and plans to make him a massive offer, a source tells The Athletic that they are under the impression he's likely headed elsewhere. If you're just joining us, big news yesterday as Al Horford followed Zion Williamson and Drew Holiday on Instagram, which would be a clear indicator that he would be leaning towards the New Orleans Pelicans. All right. We will give you, on the other side, we will give you the latest as what we know about what conversations have already taken place and where guys like Jimmy Butler and Patrick Beverley, in particular, even Derrick Rose, we have some potential landing destinations for them. So we'll give you the latest on that. Also, we'll talk to Dieter Kurtenbach of the Mercury News about how this all affects the Golden State Warriors. If you have some thoughts on how the Warriors need to approach free agency, 888-957-9570 is the number. And I got to tell you, just to forward promote a little bit what I'll be getting into later on in the hour, for the Golden State Warriors, free agency is going to be offer Clay, offer KD, and then it's really going to be a waiting game after that, because based on where they're at salary cap wise and the kind of players that they can afford, even with the mid-level exception market and in particular the veteran minimum market, they're going to have to see how all that plays out. Because all the other free agent dominoes need to fall first before the Warriors see who lands in their lap. And I know Bob Myers and company, they've put together a list of guys that they will target. But like, you know, the J.J. Reddicks of the world, that's not realistic, okay? Maybe even the Austin Rivers or Seth Currys of the world. You might be surprised what some teams are willing to pay those guys. And then how does DeMarcus Cousins fit in all this? Any room for Boogie back on the team next year at like $6.2 million? What kind of money is DeMarcus Cousins going to be getting out there on the free agent market? We'll get into all that and more. We got Dieter Kurtenbach of the Merc coming up. Always have a great NBA conversation with him, so you're going to want to keep it right here. It's Pride Sunday, and we're having a great time. We're feeling the love. It's all about the love. You guys feeling the love on the other side of the glass? Look at that. I mean, Rhino was dancing earlier. Joe Spadoni's got a killer mustache. He's doing his thing. That's a great shirt, too, by the way, Spadoni. I like that. I'm a big Joe Spadoni guy. I am. I admit that right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
Sorry, just finish up a little cracker here. Wash this down real quick for you. Good morning, everybody. That's nice. That is nice. 888-957-9570 is the number. Where is your level of concern? Where's your anxiety level? That's the word I was looking for. Do you have any anxiety today as Warriors fans? Because I feel like Kevin Durant basically holds the key to this Warriors dynasty in the palm of his hands right now. And that's a palm that's attached to a dude that's not very happy with your organization at the moment. And if Kevin Durant does decide to leave, how are you going to remember him, Warriors fans? Any animosity, any vitriol? And I think I would be misplaced if that was the case, but I do know that those type of fans are out there. By the way, speaking of the KD recruitment, shout out Steph Curry. He was already on his Under Armour, you know, whirlwind world tour. Stopped back in New York, though. Little last-minute recruitment for KD. Really, Curry will say, I'm just checking in on my boy. seeing how he's doing. I mean, how about the fact that he's already in New York? Any concern there? Like, he was on the first thing smoking to the East Coast? Like, he's already there. That might be a little alarming. But shout out Steph Curry, doing what he can to do his part to recruit Kevin Durant. Even though you hope at this point recruitment pitches have already been made. Dieter, what's up, brother? Top of the morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you coming on. You're always very good to us, and we love you for it.
Yeah, love coming on.
All right, it's the day. Even though I don't think Kevin Durant is let me put you like this. I don't think Kevin Durant's going, boy, I got to get my decision out there to make sure that I satisfy everybody that needs to know where I'm going next year.
Right.
Over under, if you were setting the line on when we might get Kevin Durant's decision, what would you set it at?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's go with like Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday morning over under. It is interesting because it doesn't seem like a lot of the market is going to wait for Kevin Durant to make his decision. But then some parts obviously have to. So, and it's interesting, does Kevin Durant still get to determine the marketplace, or is that now Kawhi Leonard's job, or is it even Kyrie Irving's job because he's been so out in front of it because he's had a lot of time off? Like, usually there's one guy who kind of gets to set it, and I think people still presume it's Durant. Maybe it is, but it does seem well, if there's been one thing about this free agency period, that it's been peculiar.
Yeah, that would be one way to describe it. How does Harrison Barnes keep making all this money?
Good timing. He's a smart guy. Everyone knows Harrison's a smart guy, but you think about how he made all that money in the first place, drafted high, and then he came onto the marketplace right as the salary cap spiked by $20 million, just almost arbitrarily when you think about it. And then this is the first year since then that there's been a lot of money out on the market, and he plays for Sacramento, and Sacramento is a team that has to throw around extra money to keep good players around. He's an NBA-quality starter, but not an all-star, so there is a price range. I mean, we're going to see guys who might yet not even be of Harrison Barnes' caliber getting money close to what he's about to get this summer, because 14, 15, maybe even 16 teams have close to a max contract to hand out. And let's be honest, not all of them are going to be prudent in how they spend that money.
Yeah, and let's face it, not all max contracts are created equal. Ask the Washington Wizards with John Wall. Okay, Al Horford. Here's a guy who, you know, 33 years old, been around the block a few times, made a lot of money in his NBA career, you know, doesn't have a ring. Has been in the playoffs plenty of times with the Hawks and then with the Celtics. He's getting a lot of interest. I know that, you know, he followed Zion and Drew Holiday yesterday, and so everybody's like, oh, the Pelicans. We just got the report about the Kings and their interest in him. And then I'm also hearing that this mystery team and all this that may be making a play for him are none other than the Boston Celtics. Al Horford, versatile, can score in the low post. I know he's a great passer. I know there's a lot that he brings to the table, but surprised at this level of interest from Al Horford. And, you know, what about him on the Kings? I mean, I think that would, if they, you know, with the Barnes re-signing with Bagley and De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, they got a pretty decent bench. That would make the Kings pretty formidable.
Yeah, I would like the Kings. I mean, I appreciate that the Kings are looking at their upcoming offseason and saying, we're not going to have money for a while because they got to re-sign Buddy Hield next summer. De'Aaron Fox is going to get his money pretty soon here, I would imagine. They're going to be capped out into the future, and they got a chance to make the playoffs, if not even a little better, maybe even win a round next year. They were pretty close last year, and it kind of fell apart. I think Horford's kind of the perfect fit there because you think about, you mentioned his versatility. That's great when you have a bunch of different guys. You know, Barnes, you can play him at the four, and Horford goes to the five in a small ball lineup. With Bagley, you can kind of play them off of each other, kind of alternating the four or five. I mean, and then they got a couple of good young centers under that, now that they got rid of Willie Cauley-Stein, where he can just play the four, and he likes playing the four. So I see a big fit there, and I think that's kind of the same reason New Orleans might be interested. There's kind of conflicting reports on if they're actually looking into him or not. But with Zion, we don't know what real position he's going to play. So having a guy who is a quintessential 4-5 in the modern game and is an unbelievable defensive player, which is key if you're going to try to make the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs. Not that Al Horford's done it all that often, but right. Still I think that the formula is there. That's what you're looking for, and veteran leadership comes at a premium in this modern NBA. I don't think that it's totally outrageous that some of these contract offers are being out there. And frankly, you look at where Boston is at. I know that they might want to get back into it, and that's cool. They didn't want to give him, from my understanding, the full amount of years that they could because of his age. They weren't necessarily turned off by the money. But, it would be – I don't think that Boston has any better of a chance of making the playoffs or making a title run than – New Orleans or Sacramento. So why would you look at these other opportunities?
That's a good point, man. I know Boston's going to look real different, and the report is that Kemba Walker is going to be their choice to be their point guard. You know, obviously, I've just watched a lot more Kyrie Irving, just him being on more high-profile teams, playing in the playoffs, et cetera. I've watched, you know, a decent amount of Kemba Walker, but, you know, because he hasn't played in you know, important situations, I honestly can't give a true assessment of Kemba Walker, because that's when, you know, you really find out who a player is in the postseason and when, you know, when things matter most. And Kemba hasn't had any of those moments. What kind of – is that an upgrade for Boston? I mean, I know Kyrie wasn't great in the room, but, damn, he's got handle and he's a hell of a basketball player. Did the Kemba thing surprise you? And just who's Boston getting?
Well, my favorite part of the whole Boston Kemba thing is that I thought that they weren't supposed to be able to negotiate till 6 o'clock tonight, but apparently,
but it's already a done deal.
Ready to go.
Yeah,
they had everything ready to go. Kemba's a much better player than I think most people give him credit for, and ultimately, there's still a lot of his ceiling to reach, because I was, whenever I would watch the Hornets, because I'm a degenerate, I would be just wholly unimpressed by how uncreative their offense was, and he was just kind of having to create stuff out of nothing a lot because he didn't have a lot of talent around him, and then the coaching staff didn't help him out with interesting sets or anything to that regard. I mean, they would just run kind of the same look every single time down the floor, so it's a testament to the fact that he was able to make all NBA doing that. So I do think that there's plenty of upside there. I don't know if it's necessarily as much of a fall off between him and Kyrie as maybe some people will presume. At the same time, man, I don't know if this makes Boston any better. I mean, losing Horford's probably a bigger deal considering you're kind of going from 1A to 1B with Kyrie and Kemba. Who they replace Horford with is a much larger deal to me if they're going to try to contend again next year. So I like Kemba. I think he's a really good player. I think that people will be surprised once they start to see him. That said, I don't know if he's a 16-game player, as Draymond Green likes to say. You know, he plays with tenacity. But defensively, I think he can be a real liability come the playoffs. But who knows if Boston's even making the playoffs?
Man, I mean, who could have, like, and that's just a crazy thing to consider. I think because they play in the East, I think they'll probably be okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, they still got some pretty good young players there. But you're right. I mean, there's future's pretty damn uncertain, to say the least. A couple more minutes here with Dieter Kurtenbach and the Merc. It's Ryan Covey with you on a Sunday morning at 95.7 The Gizame. That's how we say game, by the way, Dieter. You're welcome. All right. Kevon Looney meeting with the Rockets. Now, he's a restricted free agent, so, and the Dubs have his bird right. So, look, whatever the cash they want to try and throw at Kevon Looney, Warriors can match it. But I feel like Daryl Morey knows how much the Warriors want to keep him, and I feel like he might make the Warriors overpay to hold on to him. And wasn't it the Rockets that could have had Kevon Looney last year or 2 years ago for, like, if they would offer him like a dollar more than the Warriors, and they didn't do it? How do you read the Kevon Looney situation, and knowing that at the end of the day, all the Warriors have to do is match anything the Rockets want to throw his way?
Well, the Warriors will match anything that any team throws his way. I think the bigger concern for the Warriors needs to be the Bulls, because the Bulls actually have salary cap space and can actually offer Kevon Looney a contract. As much as we think, oh, well, the Rockets, they're going for it, and they're going to try to extract a pound of flesh from their rivals, like, they don't have salary cap space. Now, they might be able to get it, but until they do, they can't offer an RFA what Kevon Looney's going to get. So this is sort of a speculative meeting in the sense. Now, the Rockets have been kind of trying to push some money around, and they're trying to get Jimmy Butler, and they might be able to get some salary cap space to make it happen. But still, until a lot of things get in line, I wouldn't worry about the Rockets. And frankly, as you mentioned, they missed their opportunity last year. Like, that was the year to go get Kevon Looney. That was even just to keep him away from the Warriors. You saw what he was able to do in last year's NBA playoffs in the Western Conference Finals. He was a James Harden stopper. That's the guy that you just go get, and you figure it out from there, and at least you know your rivals don't have him. This is probably a little bit too little too late for the Houston Rockets. And that's not to say that the Warriors aren't going to have to pay up, because if Chicago decides to make a good basketball decision at some point in the next 10 years, this would be a pretty good opportunity, and they should just throw a bunch of money at Kevon Looney's way. And maybe the Warriors will double take, but I doubt it. I think that Steve Kerr really boxed the team into a corner there at the end of the postseason when he was calling Kevon Looney a cornerstone player, which I totally agree with as the number one Kevon Looney fan on the media beat. But they might have to pay him a lot more than they thought they would.
Yeah, I'm a big Loon guy myself, and it was really cool. Just watching his growth and just his low post game and his ability to switch and defend and. And then the way he came back in the finals, it's like he's got a broken collarbone. He's out for the season. He's playing tonight. I mean, it was just like, come on, man. That's all time right there. A guy that gave the Warriors a lot of trouble in the playoffs was Patrick Beverley. He's got a lot of teams in on him. Mavericks, Lakers, Bulls, Clippers even hope to retain him. What's fair market value for Patrick Beverley? And do you expect, based on how he showed against the Warriors, I feel like that probably earned him a lot of extra cash.
Yeah, I was joking about this the other day with somebody. Like, he had the best first round of a playoff since Bismack Biyombo, where, like, I just 3 months ago, we were talking about Patrick Beverley as a guy who the Warriors might be able to get on the mid-level exception, or maybe even an NBA minimum, probably the mid-level, though. And now the numbers that I'm hearing, it's like we're off the deep end, 15, 16, 17 million a year. I love Patrick Beverley, but now we're getting a little bit ridiculous, because as much as you thought he was an impact player in that series against the Clippers, he was just, I don't know, loud, if that's to put it. Like, he's not a 15, 16, 17 million dollar a year player. Now, he'll bring you some nice intangibles and a little bit of extra spark that you kind of need for the hump if you're a team. And that's why I think the Kings are probably going to end up with him and Horford and Harrison Barnes. They can fill it out, get some veteran leadership in there, because it worked out so well the first time they tried that with Dave Yeager and Zach Randolph. But, it's fascinating. This Patrick Beverley market, I did not see this coming, even after he had that great series or supposedly great series. And, you know, credit to the guy. I mean, sometimes you have to be a bit of a showman to get your money. I guess that's the NBA 2019-2020 in a nutshell.
Yeah.
The loudest gets paid the most.
With the Golden State Warriors being kind of up in the air, shall we say, I feel like I made the analogy that the rest of the NBA has been, you know, outside of any team led by LeBron James, has been basically hibernating for the last 5 years. And now, like, the league is beginning to thaw out. And, you know, GMs feel like, oh, damn. Like, now we actually have a chance to go and you know, compete and ultimately play for a championship with, you know, the Warriors finally showing some level of vulnerability. And I think this notion that because the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis, like, all of a sudden they're the team to beat. And, you know, we'll see how they, you know, address that, the $32 million in cap space. But, you know, there's no guarantees that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are, A, going to be able to coexist, and, B, stay healthy. I mean, you know, both of those guys have had their injury troubles as recently as this past season. So based on that, I mean, is there another team that you're looking at in the Western Conference that you think could really – really challenge for that mantra, the top spot in the West this year? And I know we got to wait for some free agent dominoes to fall, but is there one team you're kind of looking at saying, why isn't anybody talking about this team?
Well, I think people are talking about the Utah Jazz right now, and I think for good reason, with them getting Mike Conley and Bogdan probably going their way. They are going to have a really formidable 1-5. I think the team that we are forgetting about, and perhaps for good reason, is Houston. Like, they've been right there every year, and their style of play, as angry as it makes me to watch, can be extremely effective if those guys remain more or less rested for the playoffs, which is something they were unable to do last year because of injuries. They will have some, and
Oh, did we lose Dieter? Sorry. Yeah, that's what it was. Sorry. I thought my headset was going out there, guys. We all right? Hey, let's dial Dieter back up there. I guess we lost Dieter. Sorry, that coincided with my my headphones being unplugged. Sorry to anybody that was alarmed out there. Everything's fine here at 95.7 The Game. All right, we'll get Dieter back on the horn in just a second. I was having a little headphone issue as well. But, the Houston Rockets to me, though, I mean, look, they're shopping everybody and their mom right now, okay? Let's face it. I mean, if you're PJ Tucker or Clint Capella or Eric Gordon, I mean, you know, these guys have been the backbone of that team. And, you know, there's a certain willingness when you play with guys like Chris Paul and James Harden. Like, okay, here's the deal. Harden basically wants to dribble the ball for like 20 seconds. And if he can't get the look he wants, then he's finally going to give it up. And if you're a guy like Gordon or PJ Tucker, you know, I have like 2 seconds to figure it out, or like, you know, it's the old you have 2 seconds or this ball will self-destruct. And if you don't get a quality look, then Harden's going to be looking at you going, see, this is why I don't pass it to y'all. And I just feel like in general, that Rockets situation is pretty toxic. And at the end of the day, like, add Jimmy Butler to that team, I don't think your toxicity levels decrease at that point because, you know, he's Jimmy Butler. So I just feel like, in general, the Rockets, that window, as long as you're paying Chris Paul $40 million a year, I feel like that window has basically slammed shut. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's take a break real quick. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get Dieter on the horn. I had a couple more questions for Dieter. And then also in the next hour, we're going to talk to John Dickinson. It's 95.7 The Game. This is the Players Club on a Sunday morning. We'll be right back.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
You got some Hall & Oates going now. I'm feeling good. Sunday, Pride Sunday here in the city. I know a lot of folks heading out to the parade. There'll be a little traffic in the city today, so everybody just chill out. We're celebrating. We're parlaying today. So just relax. I got you entertained right up until noon. Who's taking over after me today? Who's coming on after me? Is it Herbs? Little Herbs in the house? All right, let's go. Love Herbs. He knew I wasn't feeling good this week. Shot me the text. See, I told you, it's family over here. People checking in. You all right? Hey, thanks to Dieter Kurtenbach. We lost him a little bit. He was on the road, but it's all good. We will soldier on. All right, with all this free agent madness, you know, one of the names, and by the way, with 40% of the NBA as free agents right now, there's a lot of names to discuss, a lot of potential transactions in the offing. But Nikola Mirotic, here's a guy who played for the Chicago Bulls, score four, could play the stretch, can do a lot of things. Ends up on the Pelicans. They end up trading for him because the Bulls are god-awful, and they lost Boogie Cousins. And so him and Anthony Davis, kind of as the pseudo-Twin Towers, if you will, when the Warriors beat him, not this past season, but the one before in the postseason. Last year, he ultimately ends up on the Milwaukee Bucks, and by the time they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, Mirotic wasn't even getting run, okay? He had essentially fallen out of favor. But what we know about Mirotic is the dude can score. He can get buckets, as Rhino would say on the other side of the glass. He gets buckets, okay? Well, apparently he was going to get paid by Barcelona heading overseas. That was the report, everybody. All the outlets were reporting. Now, a report came out earlier today that FC Barcelona, not FC, that's the football club, BC, basketball club, you're welcome, Barcelona, was going to pay him 6 years, $80 million, okay? Keep in mind, Alexei Sved is the highest paid player in the EuroLeague that plays overseas right now, plays in Moscow, makes $4 million a year. For Mirotic, that would be an average annual salary of $13.3 million. Now, this report has been disputed, Rhino. Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the players in the EuroLeague of NBA guys, you've got, who is it, Joffrey Laverne, Mike James, a former NBA guy, Shane Larkin. I mean, these guys are making no more than $2 million.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you've got Nikola Mirotic, $13
million. And I know you told me, you whispered in my ear, that you said somebody said that this was totally erroneous and completely false.
Yeah, Mark Stein is reporting that a source close to the contract negotiations is saying that nowhere in EuroLeague basketball has there ever been NBA economics like this.
Right. I mean, $80 million. And I mean, hey, we know that Barcelona, I don't know how the football club applies to the basketball team. You know, they all kind of fall under the same umbrella. But I don't know if, you know, the same ownership group with the same financial means, shall we say. But, I mean, FC Barcelona basically has limitless money. I mean, hell, they're talking about bringing Neymar back and Antoine Griezmann. They paid all that money for Philip Coutinho and Luis Suarez. I mean, they pay Lionel Messi's contract every year. They get buckets, right? They get paid. So I don't know if they're pulling from the same pool. But that seems like an awful lot of money to pay Nikola Mirotic under any circumstances, much less to bring him to Barcelona. But, hey, if he gets it, God bless him. That's the latest there. All right, just to kind of bring you up to speed, this is what essentially we know, what's basically in the offing, per Mark Stein, per Adrian Wojnarowski. Kyrie Irving and the Nets, they're in 4 years, $141 million. Now, they would still have money to afford Kevin Durant. And you put Kevin Durant on that roster with Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie. That's a squad. Joe Harris. That's a team. Is Jared Allen still on that team, too? I think that's a team that could play, especially in a weakened Eastern Conference with so much uncertainty with the Sixers, the Celtics. If Toronto loses Kawhi Leonard, all of a sudden the Brooklyn Nets, you put Kyrie Irving on there, even if Durant has to rehab for a year, just in general, like looking at the Nets the next 5 years, that's a team that could definitely compete for an Eastern Conference championship and maybe play for a Larry O'Brien trophy. That's big for the Nets, absolutely. And I'm not crazy about Kyrie. I'm not. I just feel like he cried his way out of Cleveland, but forced his way out of Cleveland because he wanted to be that lead dog. And then I think we learned in Boston that that wasn't the case. Now, I don't want to put that all on Kyrie, but if you look at it, when he was hurt in the playoffs the previous season, the Celtics had a nice run. They go all the way to the East Finals. It was kind of, you know, nobody really projected him to go that far with the Gordon Hayward injury. They were overachieving. They seemed to have the foresight to move off Isaiah Thomas the way they did and being willing to trade him in the Irving deal, which at the time were like, wow, Isaiah Thomas, like your best scorer. And then play a lick of defense. But going into last season, I think a lot of us felt like, damn, the Boston Celtics, they're probably the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Because if we rewind a year from now, that was before the Sixers had went out and traded for Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. We didn't really know who the Toronto Raptors were going to be, right? The Toronto Raptors at this point last year were a team that had gone out in the playoffs and disappointed yet again. They had traded their star in DeMar DeRozan for a guy in Kawhi Leonard who basically decided he didn't want to play for the Spurs anymore, had an injury, and you weren't really sure what you were going to get. And by the way, how happy was Kawhi Leonard that he got traded up to Toronto? We didn't know at the time. And keep in mind, we didn't know Pascal Siakam was going to grow by leaps and bounds this year. We didn't know Freddie Van Vliet was going to take the next step as a pro. They hadn't done the Marc Gasol trade yet either. So that Toronto team looked a whole hell of a lot different at this time last year. The Milwaukee Bucks, I mean, we figured, hey, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be an exciting player, but we didn't know that Middleton and Brogdon were going to take those next steps as pros and that they would end up being the best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think anybody saw that coming. So coming into last season, at this time a year ago, I think collectively, based on the run the Celtics had the prior year in the postseason and knowing that you were going to get Kyrie Irving back healthy for a full season, I think most of us felt like that was the team to beat. And, oh, yeah, they got Brad Stevens, right? The great Brad Stevens, who gets all this credit in the world when things are going well, but nobody ever wants to say, is this on Brad Stevens, right? Nobody ever asked that question. I asked that question. But now here we are, June 30th, 2019, and Kyrie Irving's out. Al Horford may be coming back, it sounds like now, but we're not too sure. And they're in on Kemba Walker as their next point guard at the same number that the Nets are going to pay Kyrie Irving, 4 years, $141 million. The other piece of news we can tell you, and I think we've known this for a while, it's expected to be just a formality today, so this should give Warriors fans some solace, some comfort. Klay Thompson is expected to receive a max offer from the Golden State Warriors at 3:01 Pacific today, and he is expected to sign said offer at 3:01 Pacific for 5 years, $190 million, rehabbing off the ACL. We'll see you February, maybe March. I got news for you, too. If anybody could exceed the expected rehab curve of a torn ACL, it's got to be Klay, right? I mean, my partner Butcher Boy calls him, what, a cyborg? Wolverine? I mean, the dude tore his ACL and wanted, he told Steve Kerr, hey, I'll be back in like 5 minutes. I just need to go get this thing wrapped real quick. He came back and hit his damn free throws. So if anybody could be expected to crush the curve, I think it would be Klay Thompson. Now, is that in the player's best interest? Probably not. And believe me, optics are a part of this because this training staff for the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, Andre Iguodala even reiterated this as recently as last week when he was on his PR tour, that they have the preeminent training staff in the NBA, okay? But I think optics matter. And when you think about what happened with KD in the finals this year, the Warriors, for the foreseeable future, really have no choice but to err on the side of, let's give them a little more rest, right? Like, let's not push this. And it's understandable, but you hope that the 2019-2020 season doesn't have to be the casualty behind that more than it really already needs to be, in the sense that if Klay's ready and he's rehabbed, Klay Thompson gets paid to play basketball for a living. And damn it, if he's healthy and he wants to play, Klay Thompson needs to be out there playing basketball. And Klay strikes me as the kind of dude, especially if the Warriors give him his due and give him that 5 years, $190 million contract, he's going to want to justify that in short order. Kristaps Porzingis, who we know the Mavs acquired in a trade in the middle of the year last year, a guy that's been hurt a ton, the unicorn. He's not the unicorn because of his skill set. He's a unicorn because, like a unicorn, you never actually see him on an NBA floor, okay? How good can Porzingis be? Rhino, you're a big hoop guy. How good can Porzingis really be in your estimation?
The way that he can spread the floor and shoot the three, but also handle the ball.
He's got handle, no doubt.
I mean, I would say a la Kevin Durant, almost. Not to that extent. Obviously, we haven't seen a lot out of him, but what I've seen in New York, the way he can handle it and spread the floor, he can do wonders. And with him and Luka Doncic,
yeah.
I mean, that's big money right there.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We haven't seen enough of Porzingis. And, you know, when I think of Porzingis, I think of the dude that had the fallout with Phil. And let's face it, it was a cancerous situation in New York. I mean, the Knicks have been a disgrace. And again, like, you're noticing a recurring theme on the show here today. Who the hell would want to play for the Knicks and James Dolan? Nobody. Nobody. If you missed this sound earlier, here's Stephen A. on the Knicks. This is great.
What the Knicks are saying is this. Their target was Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard alone. They could do whatever they want. We'll have max space for two max players, and they could bring who they want, whether that was Kyrie Irving, who Kevin Durant wants to play with, or a Kemba Walker, who he really didn't have that much taste for. That's the bottom line. But here's the reality of the situation. The likelihood is that you're not going to get either Kawhi or KD. The New York Knicks never wanted Kemba or Kyrie just by themselves, nor do they plan on using exorbitant dollars to pay on second-tier players beyond a 1 or 2 year deal.
All right. So it's all or nothing for the New York Knicks, and they're not going to spend money foolishly. They're not going to give middle-tier free agents long-term deals. If they strike out on Kawhi and Kevin Durant, I got news for you. You just wait. I'm telling you, Chris Paul to the Knicks, three-way trade somehow, some way. You talk about a match made in heaven. That's it right there. All right. By the way, Nikola Vucevic in the Magic, 4 years, $100 million. Sounds like that's a done deal. He's a player, man. I don't watch a lot of Magic games, but damn, he can score. He can facilitate. Is he the kind of guy that you can build a contender around? I'm going to say no. And I think Orlando is always going to be fighting that uphill battle like a lot of teams, particularly in the East, but just a lot of teams in the NBA, those smaller market teams. It's always going to be an uphill battle, not only to retain your star players, but to attract top-tier free agents. I mean, let's face it. In the NBA right now, there's really, what, 8 teams that you could say legitimately could come into a year with championship aspirations, like legitimate championship aspirations. I mean, in the East, the Bucks, I mean, when you win 60 games, you're a contender. We'll see what happens with Middleton and Brogdon, but you're a contender. The Raptors, I mean, they're the freaking champs, so there's that. I guess the Sixers are still on that list. I mean, if they lose Butler, Harris, and Redick, I mean, Redick's gone, but if they lose Butler and Harris, boy, you got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and you're going to run it back? Like, I don't know. Ben Simmons can't shoot. Ben Simmons cannot shoot. I know he's great at getting to the cup, but that's a problem. They don't have any perimeter shooting. So, I mean, I'd say in the East, you got the Bucks, the Raptors. And, I mean, okay, if the Nets get Kyrie and Kevin Durant, that doesn't make them title contenders this year because of the KD injury. But going forward, okay, you put them in the conversation as well. If the Celtics lose Al Horford, which it sounds like, you know, he's already technically been opted out, but sounds like they might be in the running to technically, I guess, reacquire him, retain him, whatever the hell you want to call it. But outside of that, I mean, what, you got 2 teams in the East? And let's face it, if Kawhi Leonard leaves the Toronto Raptors, the Toronto Raptors probably aren't an NBA title contender next season. And then in the West, okay, the Dubs are always going to be in the conversation. I mean, the LA Lakers, I got to see it first. And I have to see what the rest of that roster looks like. Who are they going to fill those spots with?
I'm not going to be here.
Magic for sure ain't going to be there. Now, the idea of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard on the same team, that's got a lot of sex appeal to me. It does. That's saucy. All right? And if Magic has any meaningful role in the recruitment, which, by the way, if you missed this on Friday, this was hilarious. Ramona Shelburne tweeted this out. Magic said he'll be happy to help the Lakers in free agency in any way that he can, even though technically, and this is just a small technicality, mind you, NBA rules technically prohibit him from doing that. But, I mean, what constitutes a meeting, right? A couple of guys having dinner. Maybe
I've been thinking about it.
Right.
But today I said, you know what?
You know
what? I'm going to go up here and tell them that's it for me.
That's it for me. You know, a couple of guys having a meeting, maybe a couple of guys exchanging some text messages. That's a loosey-goosey type thing. We can circumnavigate that a little bit, right? Especially when you're Magic Johnson, you can just hit him with the charm, right? I'm good. I'm Magic. He said, quote, a friend of mine called and said Kawhi wants to meet with you. I said, no problem. I'm available if that's what this man wants. But I got a great life. I'm not trying to mess with anybody's job. And that's such a lightweight, heavyweight troll of Rob Pelinka right there. That's what Butcher said. I don't want to straight up steal my guy's material. But he's right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously. Like, that's Magic's way of saying, even when I'm out, they're still coming to me for answers, Rob. Because you suck at your job. And make no mistake about it. It wasn't Rob Pelinka that got the Anthony Davis trade done, okay? LeBron James got that trade done, straight up. And Rob Pelinka didn't get LeBron there in the first place. LeBron wanted to come there because he wanted to be in L.A. What do you think Rob Pelinka did? And now if Magic could aid in the recruitment of Kawhi Leonard on top of it, I just love the, but I got a great life in that quote. What does that even mean? We know Magic. You're Magic. Bro, your nickname is Magic. Like, think about that for a minute. That's actually kind of badass. So, if Kawhi Leonard ends up with the LA Lakers, to me, that will be one of the biggest free... That's going to be the biggest free agent win since Kevin Durant going to the Dubs. Right there. And that will be the biggest offseason of a team. I would say, you know, if you bring in Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard in the same offseason, that supersedes anything that Bob Myers has been able to accomplish. I mean, when has a team ever gone bigger in an offseason if that happens? I can't think of anything. When would a team have ever gone any bigger than that? I guess the Heat, LeBron, and Bosch in the same summer? What would you call a bigger win? Rhino, LeBron and Bosch to the Heat in the same summer? Or Anthony Davis and Kawhi in the same summer?
Easily Anthony Davis
and Kawhi. It's got to be, right?
Easily, by far.
I mean, that did bring him titles. Brought him two titles.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
That would be all time right there. Let's hear from Stephen A. Smith on Kawhi Leonard and whether or not he's truly considering the Lakers.
I am receiving word that Kawhi Leonard is seriously considering the Los Angeles Lakers. The Clippers are very, very nervous right now. And obviously, in the case of the Toronto Raptors, he wants to grant you a meeting. But why should he even require a meeting? You just won a championship with them. You played with them for the last year. So you're going to listen to their pitch or whatever. But I don't see why they would need to have a pitch. So it comes down to Toronto or one of the L.A. teams. You don't dismiss the Clippers. But I was told specifically, do not dismiss the Lakers. The Lakers are in play for Kawhi Leonard. We'll see what happens.
Free agency. This is so fun. And if you're the Golden State Warriors, like, you really have to wait for all this stuff to play out before you can do anything. I mean, you do, because it's the formality of offering Klay Thompson his contract. You offer Kevin Durant the Supermax. You hope that he signs it. It feels to me like he's going to the East Coast, probably to the Brooklyn Nets. But at that point, once you've done those two things and then you see how the Kevon Looney situation plays out and how much you're going to have to pay to keep him, then you're just in a waiting game to see who falls into that mid-level exception market. Let me ask you this. At 888-957-9570, Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Is there a player that you think the Warriors should be targeting in that mid-level exception market? Because when I look at guys like Justin Holiday, I mean, we kind of been there, done that. Bobby Marks, he's got a great piece right now on ESPN about, you know, the prospective salaries that guys are going to receive that he expects are going to be available out there. Guys like Seth Curry, who, let's face it, Seth, he had some nice moments in the playoffs last year, but I think also, you know, Seth's got his ceiling, right? But if somebody's going to offer Seth $5 to $7 million, that is your mid-level exception right there. Or Austin Rivers, who still at 26 years old, I think has a lot of good basketball ahead of him. But unfortunately for the Warriors, because you're in this salary cap, I don't say purgatory, but they're really hamstrung by their maneuverability right now. And they basically have to wait for all these other teams to go on these spending sprees, and then they got to figure out kind of who's left over. They got to kind of sort through the rubble, if you will. And I personally think as teams begin to strike out on players that they have earmarked, because, I mean, you know, you're like the Knicks being in on Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard only, and it's those two guys are bust. I mean, think about it. They need to fill out that roster. And with 40% of the NBA being free agents, there's a lot of teams that are going to need to sign 3, 4, 5, 6 players this offseason. So with that in mind, and knowing that the Warriors really only have one extra spot to offer and then a bunch of veteran minimums, once they do the Klay offer and the KD offer, at that point, you're basically just sitting around for, 10 days, 2 weeks, to see who falls into that last level, and then you sort through the remains and hope that you can still fill out your roster. And, you know, unfortunately, that may be the price that they have to pay for this this 5 years of dominance. And yeah, it stinks that it coincides with them moving into the Chase Center. And, you know, Joe Lacob has often said that, you know, money's not going to be an issue, but there's only so much maneuverability that you have at this point. So we're about 4 hours away from the NBA free agency madness getting underway in earnest. And by the way, our own John Dickinson's going to join us a little bit later on this hour. A couple of teams for Jimmy Butler, who I think is going to be a big player in all this. Because, you know, a max contract for Jimmy Butler, like a guy that's already requested a trade from Chicago and then wanted out of Minnesota. And let's face it, I mean, when the Sixers acquired him, the Sixers had notions of making it to the NBA Finals this year. And that didn't happen, obviously. And that team is now, you know, there's as much in the air as ever with that team. So with Jimmy Butler, is he really a max player? I mean, who could justify giving Jimmy Butler a max contract, knowing what's on his resume? And I know he's gotten better as a scorer, but I can't see, based on everything we've seen from Jimmy Butler the last couple of years, that there's a GM out there that says, yep, that's the guy that I want to hitch my wagon to. That's the guy that I want leading my young players and showing my guys how to win. But there's a lot of teams that are reportedly in on Butler. According to Woj, he's expected to meet with the Heat and then the Rockets. And obviously the Sixers, too, haven't ruled out trying to get Butler, even maybe in a side-and-trade situation, or even potentially retaining him. So that's an interesting piece in all this. And then Patrick Beverly. We talked a little bit about Beverly with Dieter Kurtenbach. I mean, think about it. The last impression that you leave is usually the one that sticks with you the most. And Patrick Beverly, let's face it, the Golden State Warriors won that series in the first round. But Patrick Beverly may have been the biggest first-round winner in the NBA playoffs this year, because the way he showed, and let's be real, like, what did he really do? Like, he agitated Kevin Durant, like, to a degree, but Kevin Durant's numbers in that series were all world. We were talking about that being...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.